Hey everybody, welcome to the Same Skycast, where we bring all worlds under the same sky. I am Eddie Fettig, and in this episode, I am interviewing Nathan Barnett, who produces a number of different types of video content, mostly comedy-based. So let's have some fun.
Hey now, my name is Keith Apicary. I'm 27 years old, and I love video games, but we're talking classics here.
Hey there, everybody. It's Eddie Fettig, a.k.a. Destiny Smasher, reviews editor of GoNintendo.com. Welcome to the Same Skycast today. I have a very special episode today. We have a special guest. His name is Nathan Barnett. Some of you might be familiar with him. He plays a character called Keith Apicary, who is somewhat famous over on ScrewAttack.com. So go ahead and introduce yourself, Nathan.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing all right. And yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. It's very nice out today. It's sunny and there's a lot of planes flying over my house.
So basically you do a lot of sort of acting. You've done some commercials, my guess is that you're probably more famous for a lot of the videos that you put up on YouTube and ScrewAttack. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I've been making videos with my brothers since I was in high school and started doing commercials and TV things after high school. And I've always been doing my characters in my spare time with my brothers, and some of them have gotten pretty popular, and Keith Apicary, the video game character, has become the most popular in the past year. It's been just a year, like not even a year, I think in like a couple of weeks it'll be a year since I've done him, and he already has like a DVD coming out in about 2 months, and he goes to conventions, and he just took off. People seem to like him, so I'm very happy people don't hate him. Because he can be kind of annoying.
I've seen like all the videos you've done with Keith Apicary, and I've seen some of the stuff that you've done at conventions as him. It seems like Keith has made a few enemies, if unintentionally, over the past year.
Yeah. I guess sometimes I just push it a little too far, but I try to just do some original things and, you know, go out on a limb and do something kind of crazy, and I get in trouble a little bit, but it's fun.
have you ever gotten into like any serious trouble or?
No, Keith is like, he's lucky. He's got a shield on him or something, because nothing ever happens. Like, I get really close. Like, I'm thinking I should be being arrested right now. These guys should be putting handcuffs on me, but they don't. I think it's because they kind of feel bad. Like, they don't know I'm doing the character, and I think they think, oh, this guy's just got like a problem, or maybe he's slow, or maybe it's all the drool in my mouth. They just don't want it. Like, I don't know. I just always get off, and it's a good disguise, I guess.
Yeah. Well, like I was saying earlier, I remember when one of my friends first introduced me to your YouTube channel, because I didn't realize that you played other characters.
Yeah.
And once I realized that, I was like, oh, then that nails it. Keith Apicary is in fact not quite a real person, because for a while I wasn't sure. Like, I didn't really know.
Yeah, that's good.
Exactly. I mean, that just is a testament to like how much you get into that character and like how genuine he comes across to people, where, you know, especially since you do it like at conventions and stuff. Like, it was after I saw those, I was like, is that really how he is? He could be. I don't know. Like,
yeah, it seems like, I don't know, no one could be like that. But then, like, if I'm like that the whole time,
exactly,
people just start believing it, and I'm glad that they believe it. It's working.
Yeah. So you said that you've been sort of doing videos for a while in high school, and then you started getting into commercials. Like, what kind of commercials have you been in?
I've been in a lot of things. I've done a bunch of stuff. Like, back in Massachusetts, I did like a Visa commercial, some kind of smaller local furniture commercials, Dunkin' Donuts commercial. I can't remember the ones in Massachusetts. But then I came to LA. I've done a lot since I've got here. I did a GameStop commercial.
Yep, you were a zombie. I remember seeing that one. You were a zombie in that one, right?
Yeah, I was a zombie in that one. That one was cool. I did done a Sprint commercial, which I was another zombie, and that one that's in movie theaters right now, I think.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, what else have I done? So many. Honda. I was flying a jetpack in that one. I have to like look at my resume. I don't ever remember anything. I did 12 in the past year, and then this year I've done three. I did a I just got back from Michigan. I did a Michigan lottery one. I did one for some Tennessee Valley, like in the surrounding states, some like electricity thing or something. But yeah, I've done a lot of random different ones, and now I'm trying to transition and focus more on TV and stuff. And I've written some shows, and I've pitched shows to Comedy Central, and I'm waiting to hear.
Oh, cool!
Some right now.
That would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a fun life. I love it. I wouldn't change it for anything.
Yeah, no, that sounds great. I'm glad to hear that you've been making a lot of progress over the course of the past year or so. With your commercials, like, how do people like find you? Like, do they see you in other things, or do you like apply for stuff and then you like audition or something like that? How does that work?
Yeah, you audition for. I have an agent. You could go on like Craigslist and you could do some like small, like low budget, like into like, you know, like if a guy owns a furniture store or something and or whatever, some shoe repair place, and he's shooting a commercial on his own, people like that would post things on Craigslist probably, or, you know, but like a big commercial, like a national commercial, it's hard to get into an audition without an agent because so many people, you know, can audition for it. So they need to only get like the best, not the best, but like, you know, a casting agency is, like, say Dunkin' Donuts. Do you have Dunkin' Donuts? Is that
something? Yeah, there's one right down the street.
Coast, right?
Yep, I'm on the East
Coast. Okay, yeah. Well, they don't have them out here. But like, say McDonald's or some company is like, oh, we want to do a commercial. So they'll contact a casting agency and say, we're looking for actors that look like this type. Call a bunch. And then that casting agency will call a bunch of agents that they know have good people. And then like 60 people will go in and they'll cut it down to like their final five, and then they'll pick one. So like, I go into a lot of auditions like every day, all the time, and you get callbacks, which is the second call to meet the producer. I mean, like, you know, the agency and the directors and stuff. And then from there they pick a person. So I've been pretty lucky. Like, there's a lot of people you have to beat out, and I've been doing pretty well. So it's good.
It all
depends on the right type. You know, if like I'm getting called for like Las Vegas commercials where there's all these attractive looking guys and these. Not gonna get it. I get the crazy ones, so
yeah.
Your agent has to send you over the right stuff.
Right. Yeah, I mean most of the stuff that I've seen you in has been, you know, you're all acting kind of crazy and dorky and goofy and stuff, so
yeah. That's what I will be playing. I don't think I'm gonna be playing a romantic lead with Jennifer Aniston anytime soon. But you never know, maybe.
Yeah, that would be a pretty interesting movie, I think.
Yeah, Jennifer Aniston and Keith Abercary going on.
So a lot of the stuff that I'm familiar with, at least with your work, is stuff that I've seen on your YouTube. I first got introduced to Keith Apicary through Screwattack back in like September or October of last year.
Yeah.
And from there, like I said, my friend introduced me to your YouTube channel. I remember you did a commercial for Screwattack's 8-Bit Glory DVD as your character Trail of Wouse.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
At first, I didn't realize that was like an already established character that you had been doing videos of for a while, and so when I found out that there were other Trail of Wouse videos, I totally flipped out, because that's something about that. Like, it's a certain type of humor, and some people think it's completely retarded, but people like me, for whatever reason, I just cannot go for, like, more than 20, 30 seconds watching a Trail of Wouse video without just cracking up. Just something about that brand of humor is just really connects with me for some reason.
Well, that's good. Thank you. I appreciate that. That's good to hear, because, yeah, Trail can go either way, and Trail is another character. People didn't know if that was a real guy or not, if I was just this crazy guy with a camera. Which is good, because that's what I wanted it to seem like. I wanted it to seem like this guy just had an idea for commercials that he thought needed to be made for companies that didn't need commercials.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're pretty out there. And a lot of people will compare it to, like, Adult Swim type stuff, which is a pretty good comparison. This stuff's kind of weird.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I like to do it. Some of them are like, I know some of them are just so dumb. It's like, there's not even a joke in this. It's just the way
he's looking
and trying to speak. It's funny to me. But, yeah, he's fun to do. He comes in spurts. Like, I have to just have, like, he has to hit me just right. Like, a bunch of ideas will come, and then I'll go down there, and then I'll make up a whole bunch of other ones, and whatever it seems funny to me, I put it up. But, like, I don't expect anyone to laugh at them because they're so bizarre. But I'm glad you do. That means you're crazy, too.
So, if you wouldn't mind, would you be able to introduce us to some of the characters that you play as?
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, there's my personal favorite. There's Simmons DuPont. Simmons DuPont talks like this. He's like, hey now, I'm in top A1 physical muscular condition. He's like a big know-it-all. He thinks he knows everything about everything, and he thinks he's in the best physical shape, but he's not.
Right.
An idiot. I like him a lot because I like know-it-alls that don't know it all. I like people like that in real life. So, and I've been doing him for a long time. He's like my personal favorite.
Yeah.
And then there's obviously this Trail Luaus, who's like, "Hate me, Trail Luaus." I don't know if that was too loud or not.
No, nope, that was good.
Okay. He's the guy. He's like Candyman. He's the loud, obnoxious. Another obnoxious character. They're all kind of equally as annoying, I guess. That's my specialty. And then there's Keith Apothecary, who talks about video games, and he loves Sega, and not such a fan of Nintendo. So he's got a lot of spit in his mouth, and I've had to tone down the spit, because when I first did Keith, it was supposed to just be like a one-time video. I didn't expect to do any more.
Right.
And it was actually called Arcade Classics. I didn't call it Talking Classics, but then halfway through filming it, I did all the Neo Geo stuff, and then I started. I was like, "Oh, I could do some Virtual Boy stuff because I have this Virtual Boy. I like Virtual Boy, so I was like, oh,
yeah,
I'll do some stuff on this." And then that kind of changed. It wasn't an arcade thing anymore. It was video games in general. So I was like, "Oh, I'll call it Talking Classics." And I wasn't expecting to do another one, but then people liked it so much. Like the people who were watching my other videos, my Simmons and Trail and my Chef Leroy Truman or whatever else I had up. People who were watching those really liked Keith, and they're like, "This is so good." My mom was like, "This is like my favorite character." So I was like, "Oh, I'll do another one." And then I got it on Screw Attack, and now it's just been insane for the past year. I've done like 13 episodes, regular episodes, and like 8 convention episodes. There's a music video. There's a second music video coming, and
it's been awesome. If I were to guess, I would say a lot of that just has to do with the fact that the gaming community and the internet, like, just a lot of gamers just inherently spend a lot of time on the internet, and so a lot of gamer culture related things just happen to really find a cult following on the internet pretty quickly, or at least it just seems like a lot of gaming stuff ends up getting popular as opposed to other types of media, I guess. But
I think it's because also the gaming industry is like bigger than the movie industry now. Like more people are buying video games. And it's like, you know, you play video games online, which means you're online already while you're playing games. So, it's crazy. And, like, for Keith, it's easy to write new episodes because there's so many games, there's so many systems, so many characters to do episodes on.
Yeah.
It's like it's a never-ending supply of material, whereas, like, if I'm doing my Gall Sanglelis, the Action Sequence Pro character, I didn't do his voice. Should I give you a little sample of him?
Go ahead.
He's kind of like, he's like, "Hey! It's me, Gall Sanglelis! I'll kick the crap out of that guy!" He's just like an intense, crazy guy. I couldn't think of anything better about it. He's like a wannabe Chuck Norris.
Right.
A mean comb over front of his head.
Right.
If I did a video on him, it's like I gotta write like basically a little, you know, mini movie kind of. A 5 movie where Gall tries to rescue someone who doesn't need rescuing. And how he runs into this person. But Keith, it's just like, oh, I'll have him start blabbing about Sonic and Knuckles, and then that'll turn into like a Genesis episode or something. It's easier to write, and it comes along quicker, so.
Yeah. No, yeah, that definitely makes sense. I mean, there's a lot of other people, especially in Screw Attack, of course, that, you know, there's just so many different games, so many different genres, and different ways you can tackle things. Like Brentel Floss does the lyrics with the video games, and Angry Video Game Nerd picks apart retro games and, you know, gets all worked up about and stuff. So, like, there's so many, you're right, there's so much content that you can explore with that and different ways to tackle it. And Keith's is definitely different than most anything else I've seen, so.
Yeah, that's what I like to do. I wanted to take my little bit of alternative type of comedy and apply it to the video game world. Like, after I started going, I was like, okay, I started figuring out how what I was doing and how I was the road I was going to take, kind of.
Right.
I feel like Angry Video Game Nerd, and he's hilarious, and Brentel Floss is awesome at making songs, and I like making songs too, but like I'll do those every once in a while.
Yeah.
Not like my main thing, but I was like, well, I'm just going to basically take what I've been doing with all my other characters and do it in the video game world, and hopefully these kids will like it. And I know the video game world, all these people can be pretty harsh fan, harsh critics. So it's like, they're going to rip me apart if I get one fact wrong. And I've definitely messed up because I'm like a pro knowledgeable gamer. I just know what I like. So like when I say stuff about Neo Geo, which I have a Neo Geo, but I haven't played every single game, but I have to make Keith kind of sound like he has played every game because, you know, he's obsessed with video games. But I'll get things wrong, and then they'll rip me apart. They're like, you said it wrong. And then I'm like, whatever, it's Keith. He acts like he knows what he's talking about. So I make excuses if, it works for the character.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's, he's definitely really interesting. I actually have a few questions to ask you about Keith. I guess the first one is just like, where did Keith Apicary come from? Like, how did he originate?
I was doing a commercial for, what commercial was that? Oh, it was an IHOP commercial. Mm-hmm. And I had shot it, and then they needed to change some audio, so I rode my bike. The place where I was going to do the voiceover stuff was like pretty close down the street from where I live, and my brother Seth came with me because I went there twice. The first time I went there, they had a bunch of arcade games and video games, so then I had to go back a second day, and my brother Seth came with me, and while we were hanging out waiting, we were playing some arcade games, and we're like, oh, this would be so cool. We should get an arcade game in our house. So we started looking at arcade games, and we found a Neo Geo this guy was selling. It was a single slot. It wasn't an actual Neo Geo cabinet. It was like some other random cabinet, and he put like Neo Geo guts in the slot in that one. So it was like $200. So we bought it, and we repainted it, and we were playing it. And actually, before I even repainted it, we started like goofing around about like, we're talking, we're like, oh, I'm going to totally take you down right now. And we're just like doing voices, like nerd voices kind of.
Right.
And I go, this is funny. There's a lot of material here. Like, it's like the character I'd never done before. I'd never done the kind of a more calm character. My other characters are kind of like loud and obtrusive and like really in your face.
Yeah.
So, and that because I do a lot of physical comedy, and like those kind of characters lend to physical comedy if they're like really out there. So, I was like, this is funny. I should do a character like this where he's just, you know, calm and quiet. So Seth and I were just goofing around and, doing the voice and, I came up with a character named Keith Apicary. It's like, that sounds like kind of like an average name, like not like a trail of house. It's not bizarre. It's believable. So yeah, I just filmed the episode after goofing around with my brother while playing Samurai Showdown. So
nice.
Yeah, that's how we came about.
So have you how much are you like into video games? Did you like grow up with it, or is it something you grew into?
I haven't always played video games. I guess. As soon as I could start playing them, I played them. My parents got us an Atari 2600. It was like for the family. We all played it, and I think I was like 8 when we got that. And I remember playing Joust a lot, and Asteroids, and what else was there? Something else I can't remember, but I remember playing Joust a ton. And we never had Nintendo. We skipped Nintendo, because then we went right to Genesis.
Right.
I got that when I was like... maybe 12 or 13 or something. I was in 8th grade, I think. No, was that 6th grade? 7th grade. I don't remember. I don't even know what year it is now. But I got a Genesis after the Atari 2600. And so, yeah, I've always played video games. Then when I was a teenager, I started spending my money on them. I remember I got a Super Nintendo and a Nintendo on my own. And then I got a Nintendo 64 for my birthday. And I've always had systems. I had a Game Boy. I had a Game Gear. I had Neo Geo Pocket, and I still have a lot of them. So right now I have, like, almost everything. I have, like, all the current gen systems, and I still have my Genesis, my Sega CD, my Saturn, my Dreamcast. I have a Virtual Boy, Neo Geo Pocket. Oh, and I just ordered, I'm waiting, it's supposed to come today. I ordered a Pro Sound backlit Game Boy. I don't know if you know.
Oh, cool.
That. Yeah, but I ordered one so I can, like, make some chip tunes, and I ordered LSDJ so I can make some music.
Yeah, I know a couple people that fiddle around with that stuff.
Yeah, it's so cool. It's like, I don't know how good I'll be at it, but I want to just try it and mess around. It's something fun to do. It's a whole other way to play your Game Boy in a way.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, and some kid in England is making me I'm waiting to get that thing. Like, I'm supposed to get it real soon. A GameCube. He's making me a portable GameCube where I'll wear the system on my waist with a little belt and the 5-inch screen and the controller. So I'll have a portable GameCube.
Oh wow, that's awesome!
Yeah,
I've seen stuff like that before. It's like you have to spend a lot of time modding stuff like that together.
Yeah, I couldn't. I wouldn't be able to do it. My older brother Josh is really good at like electronics and building things. He's built like a bunch of cabinets and some MAMEs and stuff. And he was gonna make the backlit Game Boy for me, but it would have taken a while. So I was like, whatever, I'll just buy it. But yeah, this kid that makes the Game Boy, he's making the GameCube. He like he knows what he's doing. I've seen a bunch of his other stuff, and I don't know if he what he uses, but like you know that site Ben Heck. Have you ever heard of that?
I think I might have actually.
I think it's like a kid's name, and he makes like a lot of mods and stuff. Yeah. And he has like kits and like plans and shows you how to like make things. But yeah, I'd love to be able to do stuff like that, but I would definitely blow myself up or something.
So you mentioned that you have like all the current gen systems.
Yep. I just got a 360 like 2 weeks ago, and I'm obsessed with it. I was a PlayStation 3 person. I loved Uncharted 2, and I didn't really have a reason to get a 360. But then I saw this game called Trials HD that you could only get by downloading it on Xbox Live. So I was like, I have to get the system. It was a $10 game, so I spent $300 on the Xbox just to get the $10 game, and it was worth it. This game is so much fun. It's a dirt bike game.
Yeah.
Just amazing. I love it. It's really fun. So now I have all three current gen systems.
Cool. I've had a Wii since probably about 6 months from when they came out. Like I said, I write reviews for a Nintendo site, so obviously that makes sense. But for a while, I really wanted a PS3. Once the PS3 Slim came out, that was just like the perfect opportunity to look into getting one. So I got one January this year, and I know a lot of other gamers will be like split between whether or not, you know, they like the Wii or whether or not they like the 360 or the PS3, but I'm really glad I have both because I just think there's a lot of, I just like experiencing the best from both of those ends of the spectrum, if you will.
Yeah, definitely. Like each system has a lot to offer, so.
Yeah.
It's like you don't really have to pick a favorite. Like I guess you could have a favorite. Like I like Sega. Sorry to tell you, but I like Sega more than Nintendo. But I think it was just because that's what my parents got me. If they had got me right. Nintendo early on, I'm sure I would have favored that more now. But
yeah, I mean, that's pretty much the same case with me. I didn't really get to play very many Sega Genesis games on my own terms until, like, I was in high school. Like, by the time the Dreamcast came about, maybe even by then the Dreamcast might have been a bit obsolete, was when I was starting to go back and look at Sega Genesis games I missed out on. So,
yeah.
So, I mean, obviously... They're all fun. Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously, that sort of would explain why Keith's such a very blatant Sega fanboy.
Yep.
Did you specifically choose that you wanted him to be like a Neo Geo Sega fanboy and like hate on the other, on like the competitors, just because that like produces more, you know, comedic effect and that sort of thing, or was there anything else behind that?
Yeah, it works for comedic effect, like because. First of all, there's a lot of people who favor Nintendo. Like the Angry Video Game Nerd, he does Nintendo, and Brentel Foss does a lot of Nintendo songs. But I didn't really even think about them. I knew in general Nintendo was like the, you know, it's like the one in the forefront. Like people know of Nintendo more, and Sega was like I think it was because I liked Sega,
yeah.
And because not everyone was picking Sega, and it's appropriate for Keith kind of where he thinks he's like tough.
Right.
Sonic had like attitude and Sega right. ads were crazy and Neo Geo had those really crazy ads and there was like that system was like super fast and they were ahead of their time. So it was kind of like the aggressive systems.
Yeah.
I was like this scrawny nerd, you know, tries to be like Sonic and have this edge. It's like, it's kind of funny that he thinks he's so tough and he has this attitude. So it kind of just all worked together. And I was like, it just made sense to go that way. And because, yeah, I knew more about Sega and I like Sega.
Yeah.
So.
No, I remember one of my favorite Talking Classics episode is the one where he's comparing Mario and Sonic and just all the different all the different great jokes you played off of that. But I really like the sort of touch where you would catch him playing New Super Mario Brothers Wii and like trying to make it look like he hated it, but you could tell he was definitely enjoying it. So I really like that.
Yeah, I'm glad it came across that way. I was like hoping people would see that, you know. I mean, it was kind of obvious, but still, you just never know how people might see things. That's the whole deal. Is like, I mean, I play Wii, and like if Keith got his hands on it, he would definitely like it. It's fun. You can't deny it, but he would act like he does.
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely. I think something else I got out of the episode. I don't know if this was something you intended, but just looking back on the episode after I watched it, it sort of made me think about how. You know, Keith's always talking about how, like, Sonic's so fast and cool and hip and whatever, and Mario's such a loser, and just how funny it is that, you know, that definitely was, you know, character-wise, that's the case, and yet a lot of people are still, like, you know, big fans of Mario, when a new Mario game comes out, like, there's a lot of universal, like, excitement, but within the gaming community, at least, a lot of people who used to be fans of Sonic, like, are more disappointed these days about, like, a lot of the Sonic games and stuff.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was interesting. Like, were you trying to make a point with that, or is that just how it came out?
I was just basically trying to say, this guy loves Sonic, but look at Mario is obviously really fun.
Yeah.
You can't deny that, but you just can't. And there's not really any good Sonic games nowadays that are out, so it's not like Keith didn't really have any argument. His arguments were so stupid. It was just that because Sonic's better, and he did just like make jokes pretty much about how Mario is just a plumber and he picks up loose change on the ground.
Yeah.
Like all those pennies and stuff. So yeah, he didn't really have an argument because Sonic doesn't really have too many good games now. Like, I mean, I know in the general public, like, people don't like all the 3D Sonic games. I personally do. Like, I actually like Shadow the Hedgehog and, what's that one called? What was that game where he was the werewolf too?
Sonic Unleashed.
Sonic Unleashed, yes, I like that one. I think that one's cool, and I like the whole part on the games when you're like sliding on the rails and you jump from one rail to the other. I think that's cool. It's like so fast, and the graphics are really good, and I'm into those. But I know most people aren't because it is kind of awkward and it's kind of weird. But you just can't beat the original Sonics. So I'm waiting for Sonic 4 to come out. I can't wait to play that. I think that's gonna be awesome.
Yeah.
I think it's finally doing it right again. They're like, okay, let's just get back to what we're good at with these Sonic games.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really been following the 3D Sonic games, but I've been following the 2D ones that they were still releasing on portables.
Those are fun, like on the Neo Geo Pockets and everything.
Yeah,
the DS and all that.
Right, yeah, like Game Boy Advance DS. I remember I used to play some of the portable ones, like back on the Game Gear, like way back when the Game Gear was high end technology. But
yep, like Sonic Chaos and all that.
Yeah. Like, I think that, like, the Sonic Advance games and the Sonic Rush games are still pretty good, but it has been a long time since just a 2D console Sonic game. So, yeah, I think a lot of people are definitely excited about that.
Like, Sonic Adventure doesn't compare with Mario 64.
It's like
Mario 3D games, just they knew how they did it right. Sega needs to take a lesson.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I guess going back to Keith, she's only appeared in like maybe two, maybe three episodes. I don't recall offhand, but Keith's younger sister Kelly. How did that character like get thrown into things, and like who plays her?
That's my friend Laura Giroux. I call her Laszlo, so people get confused because I'll say Laura, Laszlo, and Kelly. She's like three names, kind of.
Right.
But she's my roommate and she's my friend, and she does a lot of voiceover work for cartoons and stuff, and now she's getting into anime because she has like that really high-pitched squeaky voice.
And
she's 26 for all the people who are wondering, because she gets a lot of messages and a lot of comments. She's not 13, so she is of legal age. And she's 26. She just like has a really small, you know, demeanor, and she's, you know, a little cute girl. So I was like, oh, it'd be perfect if I was joking around with her one time. We're just kind of talking about the idea of like her playing Keith's sister.
Right.
So I figured we'd throw her in and see how it worked, and if people were into it, if people were like, eh, we don't like it, we'd see what else we could do with it and, you know, make it work, whatever. But people loved her right away, and it was cool, too, to do that so I could show a whole other aspect of Keith, because one thing I want to do in these episodes is show other, like, not just him sitting in front of the camera talking about video games, show his life in a way. And
putting him
there with his sister, you're able to see how he acts with other people, and someone being his sister, you can kind of see a meaner side to him.
Yeah.
He's kind of like, even though he doesn't really mean to be mean, it's like he's acting like he would towards a little sister.
Right.
He's kind of like a pain in the neck towards her and gets annoyed by her because she's always bugging him or whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's like the whole reason we put her in there. And then now it turns out that all these guys think she's wicked cute and like they're like really liking her, and then she gets tons of comments. She was in the Neo Geo music video
for like two frames.
She was so quick. And they're like, oh my gosh, Kelly at 2:45 or whatever. It's pretty cool. So now she's definitely a personality of the show, and like we're able to write good jokes for her, and it's like it works really well now. So, and there's a new music video coming out. We're filming it next weekend. It'll be out, I think the video will be up in like June or so, or July, sometime in the early summer. She sings on the song. It's like she does the choruses and like a bunch of verses, and then Keith does all the other verses. Cool. So she'll be in that music video, so I think fans will be into that. And she's going to be at SGC this summer, July 2nd through 4th in Dallas, the Screw Attack Convention. Keith will be there, and Kelly will be there. So if anyone wants to meet Kelly in real life, she'll be there.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. No, that's definitely funny how that works. We have someone over at Go Nintendo who is sort of similar in that regard, where she's of legal age, but people think that she's this little kid because she has this high, like, childish-like voice. And in my opinion, it's just kind of if you are a girl and play video games and make that known on the internet, yep. you're just like asking for lots of people to start bucking you.
Yeah, definitely. There's not too many girls like out there. Like Corey on Screw Attack is like the cute girl, you know, so she gets all this attention, and it's like it's rare to have girls playing video games, especially ones that are cute. It's like, what? Like, yeah. There's all these, like, drooling nerds, like, staring at you, so yeah. You're asking trouble, kind of.
Do any girls express interest in Keith in any way like that?
Yeah, surprisingly.
Really?
Yes, Keith definitely gets attention. One girl told me it was because he's just so non-threatening. Like, this girl was like, babe, she's like, nerds are appealing. Like, she's like, especially Keith, because he's confident. He does all these things at like conventions, and he's just like, he'll do whatever he wants, and he'll put himself in this like situation that most guys wouldn't. And he's just like, he's a nerd. He's goofy. Like, so girls like when guys are funny, and when guys are into things. Like, maybe not as many girls as you would think, but like, right. I've definitely got a lot of messages from people, and like, I've got messages from girls who think I'm really Keith. And then that, no, I'm not, but then they're into the fact that I'm doing this, you know, this nerd character.
Right.
So, I don't know. Yeah, at conventions, it's like girls warm up to him. Like at E3, all the girls Keith was hitting on, they like giggle and laugh at it. They're into it because it's like this really like forward nerd, when normally, like, you know, I don't mean to say nerd as like if it's a bad thing or not. We're all nerds, really. If you're super into anything, you're kind of a nerd for whatever it is you're into.
Yeah.
But, Keith, like, he'll just be, like, hitting on girls, and they're, like, laughing because they don't expect that. So they're like, oh, they'll entertain it for a little while and go along with it because it's funny. It's
right.
Different from, like, a big guy who was covered in cologne came over, and he'd be like, what's up, girl? It'd be like, that's kind of, a freaky and weird because, you know, that guy probably has bad intentions. But this is a scrawny nerd. His worst intentions could be, like, you know, wanting to take you home and play video games with you or something.
Yeah.
So, wouldn't know what to do with you, so it's nothing to worry about.
Yeah. I totally love Keith. I haven't really thought about that sort of aspect to him, but no, that's funny.
He gets attention from girls.
how did Keith end up getting mixed in with Screw Attack? Like, did you approach them? Did they approach you?
Yeah, it was actually me approaching them. I didn't even know about them. I was making the videos. I was putting them on YouTube. I think I made three of the videos, and my friend Tom Flaherty. He's my friend from Massachusetts, and he was visiting me at the time. He was out in LA, and he said, he's like, hey, you should check out Screw Attack. They have a lot of like content, and I'm sure they'd like to, like, you know, use this. He's like, this is like actually really funny. He's like, I haven't seen, he liked it. He said he hadn't seen like a show like mine anywhere, and he thought Screw Attack would like it.
Yeah.
So I emailed Craig, and I was like, hey, my friend told me about your site, and you guys have, I checked out the site, and I looked at a bunch of stuff, and I was like, this is like a cool place. Let me know if you'd be interested in doing something with this show. And Craig liked it right away. He's like, this is really good. He's like, how many do you plan on making? And I said, I'll just be making them forever until I run out of ideas, I guess. So they came up with this whole deal where I just keep making them, and they'd put them on, like, we'd have like certain dates I'd put them up, and ever since we've just been doing it together. So I'm super glad that he was into it. I'm really glad my friend Tom like told me about Screw Attack, because it's like, it's awesome. Like, I love Screw Attack now, so
it's great. I've definitely been ever since they launched the new version of the site where, you know, users could upload their own stuff, I've been visiting there like every day. But I mean, obviously, like, I go there for the original content, like your stuff and Hard News and like stuff like that, but then
Hard News,
you know,
is so good.
Yeah. That was great that Keith got to be on an episode of that.
Oh yeah, that was really cool. I was so happy they let me do that. I was like, this is awesome. It's like a whole other thing for Keith to do, and it ended up being pretty funny.
Yeah, it did. It came out great. You were like interacting with some of the other people there as Keith,
yep.
Which was kind of interesting. So that was definitely cool.
Yeah, I liked it. I had a fun visit to Texas last week.
Yeah. So like, I guess what possessed you to start acting out as Keith, like, for the entirety of, like, a trip to a convention? Like, did, you know, like, I don't know, like, what, I just want to know, like, why did you decide to do that?
I don't know, like, I've done some videos, in similar ways. Like, I had this one character, his name's Rick Santel, and he's a cable access TV host where he hosts this show called What's Going On Around Here, and he just goes to these events, and he's like, hey, what's going on around here? And he just doesn't understand what's happening, and he just asks questions, and he's a really bad interviewer. Like, he'll ask statements.
Right.
And he'll just tell, he doesn't ask any questions, and he'll just keep talking to people. You'd have to see it. It's hard to explain. He's just really awkward. He puts people in really awkward situations. It's called What's Going On Around Here, and I have it on my YouTube, and I've done, like, live events and stuff, and I've done, like, kind of live pranks and stuff, things in public where people will be like, what's happening to that guy? Like, hidden camera junk. So I figured I'd do that type of a thing, but I'd do it as Keith at a convention. I could probably get some
attention,
good material out of it. Yeah, so
yeah.
Frank got me into into E3, and I just went crazy for 3 days, and just anything I could think of, I was like, oh, that's funny. I'll fall down those stairs. And then people, laugh at it, hopefully. So I just did a bunch of stuff, and I ended up getting 4 videos out of it, because I just had so much material. The place was huge, and I just kept getting all these ideas, and I don't know, I couldn't drop the character, because I figured if people see me breaking character, it'll kind of ruin it, and right. I could get in trouble, because then people would be like, oh, that guy's just being a jerk, he's just making fun of everyone, so I'll just stay in character the whole time, so they'll think, oh my gosh, this guy's kind of crazy, we'll just leave him alone. So, yeah, it's like, I can't break character, because I don't want people to know. If people don't know that he's not real, I don't want them to know. Like, I'll stay in character, like, a whole week if I have to, if I'm, like, surrounded all the time. Like, at SGC, it was just 3 days where the only time I wasn't in character would be, like, when I go back to my room for, like, 5 minutes, and I just, like, take a break, and then I'd go back out, and I just had spit in my mouth all the time. And, like, my jaw was so tired after the 3 days, but it was worth it, because I'd rather people believe that Keith's real, and then someday find out and be like, you gotta be kidding me, he's not really like that. It's more of a payoff, and you can get into him better.
Yeah, definitely. Although, I guess, like what happened with me, because, at first I didn't know either, but once I did find out that that Keith Apicary wasn't real and that he's just this character that you play, I mean, because you play all these other characters, obviously that, like, opened up the door for me to, like, get into all these other, like, bizarre characters you play, like Trail Luaus and things like that.
Yeah.
So it's just great. I mean, I don't know, like, how much Trail Luaus helped the sales of the 8-Bit Glory DVD, but, like, after I saw that video, I was like, I'm gonna buy that. It's real low cheap. It's 10.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Like, I totally went with that. So
that's good. I'm glad.
Yeah, there must be, something to that for, certain people like me who get that kind of humor.
Yeah, Trail Luaus is, like, the master of catchphrases and weird catchphrases that get stuck in your head, but they're just, like,
don't
they
make
shouldn't
sense.
Because it's like bad. It doesn't make sense. Why am I saying that over and over? But
Flavor Babies.
Yeah, that was my favorite one from that. Like, it just comes out
kind of,
like, in front of that wall, it just starts spewing out, and then, like, these little gems will come out.
Where, like, is that just like a, is it always the same brick wall, or does it sort of change, or?
It's one of two. It's right down the street from me. I moved to a different place. It's, like, actually, like, one block from the wall. It used to be farther away. But I look out my window, and I think I can see the top of the building where it is. It's just, like, old. It's this parking lot where these DHL trucks will park.
Uh-huh.
And there'll be times where I'll be doing it. If I do it, like, on a weekday during the afternoon, there'll be these DHL workers sitting, like, in the parking lot, like, hanging out, eating lunch. And they're, like, they're literally, like, 5 feet on the side of me. I'll be, like, in an empty parking spot, and they're just, like, looking at me with these short orange shorts on, like, yelling things at the camera, and they probably think I'm crazy, but then I hope that they would see the camera and know, oh, he's trying to make a video, but some people just don't know. So I just go down to the parking lot, and I yell out loud, but usually I try to do it on Saturdays or Sundays when there's no one around, so then I can just, and the parking lot's locked, and I just, like, climb over the fence, I'll do it, so it's easier when there's no one around.
Yeah. So with the Trail of Wild stuff, like, what inspired you to decide to do candy? Was it just because there's, all these different established brands that have these different, like, shapes to them, like M&Ms or, a bunch of little pieces, and then Butterfingers, like, one big piece? Like, why did you decide to do candy instead of, as opposed to anything else?
Well, at first I started with Butterfingers, because I did this Butterfingers commercial as Simmons DuPont. It was this commercial my friends directed, my friend Paul Cummings and Tony Findaca. And Paul, actually, I shoot things with him. He moved out here. He lives like right on the other side of me. He's like, I can see his apartment from here. He moved out here and we filmed stuff together. He's like making the whole Talking Classics DVD and he directs commercials and we're always working together. Me, him and my brother Seth. So he had done this Butterfingers commercial and they put me in it as Simmons DuPont. It was for the Balls of Fury movie. It was this promotion that Butterfingers was doing with the movie, and it was me as Simmons training for some ping pong match. But anyways, I did that for Butterfingers. So then Butterfinger, their ad people knew about me, and they called me one time to have me do some other ad. And so like I was like on their radar, and they knew who I was. So I was like, I had this idea for these really crappy commercials. Like, oh, it'd be funny if I did some commercials for brands that were like really bad, like cable access style commercials made by this crazy guy. So I went down there and I wrote like three, and then I figured I'd just make up a bunch of other stuff. And I didn't have the guy's name yet. When I was down there in front of the wall, I just started saying different names. And one of the names I came up with was Trail. I was like, that's funny, Trail. I like that name. And then I said Lewis. So I kept saying, hey, it's me. I was like, hey, it's me, Trail Lewis. And that was his name originally. But then I said it weird one time, and I was like, Luaus. And I was like, that's funny.
Yeah.
It's weird. And then that's what stuck. So I just kept saying that over and over. And then I said it every time. And I was like, that's funny. If he says his name every time, he always introduces himself. And he does like a slew of 30-second commercials.
Yeah.
So I did Butterfingers because I was going to send it to the guy at the ad agency. He'd be like, hey, what do you think of this? It's kind of crazy. You want to do something with it? And he's like, he liked it. They all thought it was really funny. But he's like, there's nothing we can really do with this right now because we have like our money's in all these other ads and we can't spend money on anything else right now. But, you know, send it to us again later when our other like session comes around when they're going to do new ads or whatever. But nothing ever happened with it. So I did the three Butterfinger ones because I was just like liking doing them. And then I did a Twizzlers one. Then I did the Skittles one, and the Skittles one went crazy. People seem to like that one a lot.
Yeah.
So, and then I was like, well, just keep doing different candies as if this guy's not going to stop until some brand buys his commercials. And no one has been buying commercials. But then I was getting paid by these other places, like Le Mans Racing paid me to make a bunch of commercials for as Trail. And I did a bunch for this website called digyourowngrave.com.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw those.
Yeah, it's like people are into Trail, so I'm doing these little, like, you know, like low budget little commercials for them. So who knows? Maybe someday, like if I'm like big or something, those commercials, Butterfinger will be like, hey, do you mind if we use your commercials? So who knows? I don't know. It's fun to do though. And I don't really eat too much candy. I eat like pretty healthy. I'm a vegetarian and I eat like mostly organic food. And here I am advertising for candy, like the one thing I feel kind of bad about, but like it works. I can't do carrots because it wouldn't be as funny, I don't think. And,
right.
Like, Trail wouldn't seem like this desperate salesman, like, advertising for things that don't need to be sold. So the whole gimmick is that he's trying to sell stuff that doesn't need to be sold, you know, and hoping a brand would appreciate what he's doing for them.
Yeah.
But I don't know. So now, so candy it is, and I'll just keep going with candy.
Cool.
Yeah. Like short story long.
No, that's great. I really like hearing about, you know, how all these different characters came to be and all the sort of, things that went into starting work with them, and that's just really cool to hear about.
If I go too long, just say okay, I've heard enough.
I'm honestly at this point, I'm not sure. Like, just with how many of your videos I've seen, I'm not sure if like there ever can be a limit to that. I mean, with how much I've watched, like I would figure that if my mind can take this much, it can just keep going.
Yeah.
So.
This interview is going to fill up the internet pretty soon.
Hopefully. I mean, honestly, I feel like a lot of people, I mean, like I said before, a lot of my personal friends are like really into your work once I introduced it to them. But I mean, obviously there's a lot of other people that are at least aware of Keith Apicary. And I'm sure you have a lot of people on YouTube that follow your work as well. And I don't know, I just feel like a lot of people probably don't really know a lot about you, like, as Nathan, and, you know, all the work that, and, you know, the ideas that you have to put into all these different kinds of characters, which, I mean, obviously that's part of the great aspect of that, is because a lot of the people that do follow your work are only aware of, like, one of those characters.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, just as a fan of your work as a whole, it's just great being able to, like, not ever know exactly what to expect from your next YouTube video, because it could be, like, any one of these different kinds of things.
Yeah, it's all bizarre in its own way.
Like, for most of your videos, like, do you go about a certain process with all of them, or is it different? Like, I would imagine maybe the Trail of Wilds ones are probably, you probably go about those differently than the Keith Apicary ones, am I right?
Yeah, in both of them, there's a little bit of, like, improv-ing and just making stuff up on the spot. Like, Keith, yeah. I'll be like, okay, I have this Sega CD joke I want to make. I'll say that, and then I'll just keep talking afterwards or before, and then I'll say something like, oh, that's funny. I'll talk about a calculator, and then I'll just start talking, like, I'll just get on to different jokes. So I end up having, like, tons of footage of me blabbing until I finally get to another joke, and then I'll be like, okay, that was funny. I'll re-say that quicker so I can get it in and I'll get to the punchline quicker. So, like, I'll write a lot of it and then I'll make stuff up, and that's the same for Trail. I'll write a lot and make it up. But for, like, Simmons and Gall, those are more, like, scripted little pieces, and I'll write those from beginning to end. Like, I'll write all the characters' dialogue, like, my character and the person I'm talking to. I'll write that, and I'll get, like, my friends, you know, to be in my other performer friends, and I'll cast them, kind of, I guess, like mini productions in a way.
Yeah.
So, they're all kind of different, but then there's, like, ones I'll just make up on the spot, like, well, not make up on the spot, but, like, I'll go out, like, it's a montage of ones, like, of me falling down, and I'll go out, and I'm like, okay, that'd be funny if I fell out of this, and I fell out of this, and then as I'm out there, I'm like, oh, that's cool, I could fall out of that, and it's just kind of, like, you know, see a shot, go and get it, like, if you see it, just do it.
Have you ever, like, gotten any kind of serious injury from doing that, or do you always seem to come out all right?
I always seem to come out all right. I think I'm a little bit rubbery, so I don't really get hurt. I don't know, I've done a lot of, like, physical stuff. That's, like, my favorite thing. Like, my favorite type of comedy is physical comedy, because I feel like anyone can laugh at it. You don't have to know any, speak a certain language. Like, everyone is universal, kind of. So, the surprise brain syndrome videos have done really well, and I think it's because of that, because everyone just likes watching people fall down or someone get hurt. So I like to incorporate that, and that's, like, something I'd like to do. I'd like to go down in history as, like, the Jim Carrey that went, like, farther. Like, I did it, like, not that I love Jim Carrey, I think he's awesome, but I feel like he had more potential and he could have kept going with his physical stuff and really done some pretty creative, inventive physical comedy bits in his, like, movies and stuff, but he obviously wanted to take a different road, and you know, he was getting older too, maybe he was getting tired of doing it, but I'd like to be, like, the next Buster Keaton, Jim Carrey, like, physical comedian who just goes crazy, and, like, that's what I'm known for. Like, I want to obviously be a legit actor, and I want to be not just the moron that throws himself on the ground, but, like, I want people to be like, wow, I've never seen anyone do that type of a move, or, like, look at him, he's, like, so tangled, it's like, how did he do that? So, yeah, that's, but I've never gotten hurt. I knocked my tooth out in the first surprise brain syndrome, but that's it. That's the only thing that happened. Now I have, like, a fake tooth in the front of my mouth. So, but it was worth it. The next, I went the whole rest of the day filming too with, like, a swollen mouth and a missing tooth. I was like, I gotta get these shots. So I filmed the rest of the day.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, but I've never broken any bones, so I'm lucky.
Yeah, no, seriously, like, after seeing, like, you tumbling, like, just sort of slipping downstairs, like, it just amazes me that you can just, like, get up and, like, walk and do it again on another set of stairs. And
yeah, I don't know why, but it works. Something's wanting me to do it.
Well, it definitely turns out, like, it's just bizarre, hilarious stuff when you record it. Like, when you go to, like, conventions, or maybe just in general, like, do you just sort of set a camera up, or does, like, one of your brothers help film stuff for you, or how does that work?
My brother Seth films for me. He writes with me, and then, like, he'll help film, and same with my friend Paul. He films with me a lot, because it's, we're working with this DP now, who's a director of photography. He's going to be shooting the next Keith video, the music video. Mm-hmm. And, like, we get my brother Josh is also a photographer, and he came out to LA for the Neo Geo music video, and he built the whole rig that, like was holding the camera onto Neo Geo, and he's the one that pushed the Neo Geo, like, the 8 miles that we went. So,
and that was a really cool effect.
Oh yeah, thank you. That was an idea Paul and I had, and we're like, I hope this works, and we planned it out. We have, like, test footage of us, like, doing it, like, down the street with just me on it, and seeing if it would work. We did a little edit, a little preview cut, and it looked like it was going to work, so that we just went and did it. We just went out for 2 days straight, like, into the night, and then we took a stop and went to sleep, and then the next morning we got right back out there and shot again, because we wanted to have a ton of locations.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it worked out awesome, and now we have, like, this DP that's going to be shooting the next Keep the Music video, which is going to be, like, a legit music video, like, something you would see on MTV or whatever, but with Keith in it,
Keith and
backup dancers and Kelly, and it's gonna be, it's crazy. We thought it'd be kind of funny to put Keith in that kind of a video, because he doesn't match, you know, even though that sounds kind of cliche, but I think you'll be happy when you see it. It won't look like, oh, Keith's trying to be a rapper, that's like cheesy. It'll work. There's like this whole thing
going on. I believe it.
Yeah, so we want to like just really push it to the next level and make some like actually visually pleasing videos, instead of like a guy just standing in front of a wall with a static shot of a camera on a tripod, and it's just the same thing over. We want like motion, and we want to look like, wow, these guys are really making, they're not just making internet videos, they're making like TV quality stuff.
Yeah.
So it's usually just, the original question was, who films the conventions, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of people. It's usually either me and a tripod, or my brother Seth and my friend Paul, but like, this year at E3, my brother Seth and Paul are both going to go, so we'll have someone there to help with audio and to do camera, because last year at E3, it was just me and my tripod, so I would just hit record on my camera, run away from it, it's sitting on the tripod, then I'd go fall down the stairs, run back to the camera, hit pause, and then do it again. It was like a pain, and then people would walk in front of the shot, and people would trip over my mic cord. So when we went to Comic-Con, it was a lot easier because we had a wireless mic, and my brother Seth was doing the camera, so I was able to just freely go get in trouble without having to worry about, is my camera getting stolen?
Yeah.
So it's like, whatever it takes to get the shot, I'll do it. Like, I've had to do it things with just me, and it ends up working out fine, but it's a lot more work.
Yeah, no, definitely. Just the idea of you spending 3 days, like, carrying a camera around by yourself just kind of is bizarre, but, I mean, that just... I guess that just shows your dedication to wanting to, you know, have a lot of content from that. And it was, like you had, like you said, like 3 or 4 videos from E3, and they all turned out really amusing.
Yeah, I can't, if I'm in a place, I'm like, well, I'm here, I have to just do it. Like, I don't care how long it takes, like, I just need to get it made. Like, I think I have a little bit of a problem, like, I'm addicted to making videos and content and just making things. Like, I love shooting. I love it so much. Ever since we started doing it, there was a sketch show in high school that I did with my brother Josh and my brother Seth and my friend Rick Canavan. We had this show called The Sweet Ride that my older brother started, and it was a cable access sketch show, and it was so much fun. Ever since then, I've just been filming, ever since I was like 13 or 14, so cool. I can't stop. I'll never stop.
No, yeah, that's exactly how, you know, when you're really passionate about something, that's just how it is. Like, you know, that's how I am with my writing game reviews and stuff. It's just like, it's something I love. Like, I'm just going to keep doing it and keep doing it and see where that takes me.
And if you're just doing it for the pure joy, it's obviously going to lead to things, because things just escalate. Like, I've done Comedy Central shows, and I just did a Comedy Central pilot, and the budget for the thing was $1 million. I was cast on this like legit TV show with explosions and stunt guys and everything. And I got it because the director, who was a guy from the state, Michael Patrick Jan, He directed State Things, and he was in the State, the show, the MTV's sketch show, The State, from the 90s. Like, I met that guy, and I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm like hanging out with this guy, and this guy's directing me. And it was all because he saw Trail of Wows, and he thought he was funny, so I got on the TV show, which is like unbelievable. Like, that's not very, like, that's pretty rare. Like, I'm not saying to people that's gonna happen to you, because it's, you know, it's rare. But like, out here in LA, I'm kind of known in the comedy world a little bit, because I perform at the Upright Citizens Brigade, and Comedy Central also knows me because I did their gong show and stuff. But like, it's all happening primarily because I'm just making stuff, and I'm out there, and people are seeing me, so you just have to put yourself out there in some way, and the internet is the best way to put yourself out there.
Yep.
And people see my videos, and they'll see, oh, he also performs at the Upright Citizens Brigade, so then these casting people can come see me live, and then talk to me, and then they'll call my agent or whoever, and be like, hey, we want him in this. So definitely, I'd say to anyone who wants to do something like this, just keep making stuff, and then don't try to get on TV. Well, I mean, obviously try, but like, don't make it your goals. Like, I'm going to do this because I want to be on TV. You should do it because you want to do it, and then you will get what you want later, you know?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's definitely great to hear from a lot of people. I'm sure a lot of people on Screw Attack, especially just because we're both, you know, we both put our stuff up there. I'm sure a lot of people on Screw Attack are just, you know, using that as their means to just, like, you know, pump out some content, just keep going at it, keep plugging away, and sooner or later see where that takes them. So,
yeah, definitely. It's a good, and it's good training and practice too. It's like, I think I'm not the best at making videos, but like, I know what I'm doing. I know how to do it now because I've been doing it for so long. It's
right.
Like, it's basically like your college. You don't have to go to school for filmmaking if you just make films.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's kind of weird. Like, I mean, it's good to learn how to do things at school, and they can teach you the basics and like how to do things, but they can't teach someone how to be creative.
Right.
And you can figure out the other stuff as you're going. Like, obviously, oh, you know how to run a camera because you've been having to run the camera on your own for 2 years, and so now you know how to do it. So it's basically the cheap, poor man's college, I guess. Just do it on your own.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's great. I'm really glad to hear, because like I said, I'm a big fan of your work, so it's just awesome to hear that you've been finding a lot of success in not just like on the internet, but just, you know, in more mainstream sorts of things. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's great. I'm happy.
So I guess, you know, it's getting close to an hour, so we should probably start wrapping this up here. So I just got a couple more questions. Would be, are there any like upcoming projects you're working on aside from the Keith Apicary music video that maybe you might want to tease your fans about?
What's coming up? Well, the Talking Classics DVD is coming out. We're like finishing that up right now. We're working out. My friend Paul is like making all the menus and stuff, and I'm doing commentaries, and there's a ton of bonus footage, like the making of behind the scenes of the music video. There's tons of like bonus content. It's like a whole disc, like we're filling up. We have to make like this double layer disc of stuff for the bonus content, because there's like hours of stuff. So that's coming out. That'll be available at SGC and online at Screwtech, I think in June, either June or beginning of July. The Talking Classics DVD will be out, so I guess look for that if you like Keith. And then the new music video is coming out. But as for internet, like that's about it. And like some other random videos I'm doing. I'm doing another a new Simmons, a new Stupid Idiot episode, and a new Monroe Salby surprise brain syndrome installment of him doing some physical stuff. So just keep looking. There'll be some stuff, but it's like hard for me to work on too many internet things right now because I'm like writing some TV stuff and pitching these TV shows and auditioning for like pilots right now. But right now it's pilot season, so everyone's all the new pilots for the channels are, you know, being cast right now and filmed. So I'm doing a lot of auditions. So
cool.
But yeah, so just keep looking. There'll be more stupidity coming soon.
No, that's awesome. I remember when you put that video up with the montage of Keith Apicary, and then that song that's going to be in your upcoming music video started playing. Me and my friend were like, "What? We haven't heard this song before. Where's this song coming from?" And then we found out, you know, there's a music video coming out too. We're like, "Oh man!"
So, yeah, that's it. The song is called "Classic Gaming Whiz," and it'll have Kelly on it. So, I'm glad you got excited. That's good. That means one person will watch it.
That's definitely great. So is there, like, anything, any message you might have for fans of Keith, fans of your Trail of Wows, fans of, you know, any of your work in general, just anything you might want to say to them?
Yeah, I'd like to say thank you so much. Like, I mean, I know everyone's like, oh, thank you for watching my stuff, but, like, really, like I can't believe that people like watching my stuff. It's crazy to me, and it almost seems unreal because my stuff is just so silly. And I don't mean to sound like, oh, I'm an idiot. What the heck? These people are crazy for liking my stuff. Like, I just really appreciate that people watch my stuff, and like people like my stuff are like really cool. And like everyone sends me awesome comments, and I try to write back to every single person. And just like I can't thank anyone more than enough for watching my stuff, because that's the only reason I'm doing it. Really, like, I just want to make people laugh, and to know that I'm making people laugh and they're laughing at my brand of humor, it makes me feel good. It's like, okay, I'm doing this for a reason.
Yeah.
I'm just so happy that people like it. So thank you so much, and I appreciate it. And anyone who buys shirts and stuff, like, people are buying my t-shirts, that's like, that blows my mind even more. I'm like, is this a joke? Are they buying these on purpose just to like draw on them and make fun of me? But I can't believe it. It's amazing. So thank you to everyone who watches my stuff, like, big time. Anyone wants to talk to me, send me a message on Facebook or whatever. I'll write back to everyone, and I want to be friends with everyone. So I'll be your best friend, I promise. Send me a message.
Awesome. No, and I mean that's kind of how this happened. I just sort of asked you if you'd be up for it, and man, it's been great. Like I said, I'm a big fan of your work, and I honestly wasn't expecting to hear back from you, but I was like, hey, why not? You know?
Oh well, yeah, thank you. Definitely, yeah. So, I love doing stuff like this. That just means people are appreciating what I'm doing, and I should be thanking you for asking me to do this. This is like amazing. This is fun. I love it. So thank you.
Cool. Awesome. It's been a great time. It was nice getting to know you, getting to know the history behind your work. I'm going to try real hard to sort of, you know, get the word out here. My podcast is sort of new, so I don't have very many listeners, but maybe this will, you know, kind of bring in some new people to your work, bring in some new people to the stuff that I do and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
I'll have to
definitely have to spread the word. Totally.
Awesome. I will definitely let you know when I have this up and ready to go, but, yeah, I just don't know what else to say. It's just been really great talking with you, Nathan.
All right, well, you too. Thank you.
Yeah, and so thank you for joining us, everybody, on the Same Skycast. If you want to get in touch with me, you can send an email to destiny.smasher@gmail.com. I'm going to be sure to put links to Nathan's work in the description for this podcast, so you can make sure to check that out. If you want to follow me on Twitter, my Twitter is also Destiny_Smasher. Do you have a Twitter account, Nathan?
Yeah, it's just Nathan Barnett, NathanBarnatt. That's also my gamer tag on PlayStation Network and Xbox Live, so if anyone wants to be my friend online and Facebook, find me anywhere and we'll be friends.
Cool, awesome. I'll be sure to stick up links to a bunch of that stuff in the description, so be sure to check that out, guys. I guess that's about it. Just stay tuned for the next main episode of the Same Skycast. We're going to be talking about the Pokemon franchise, so if you've got any thoughts or opinions on how the franchise has progressed over the course of the past, you know, more than a decade, be sure to send those to my email. And once again, it has been a great opportunity to talk with you, Nathan. It was awesome. I hope a lot of people have some fun listening this year. And yeah, thanks, guys, for listening, and later days.
Bye-bye.